Welcome to the Portable Promised Land, a.k.a. Soul City, the fictional home of a host of characters created by Rolling Stone contributing editor Touré. His collection of stories features the Right Reverend Daddy Love, Coltrane Jones, and Huggy Bear Jackson, the CD player in Huggy Bear's car, named the Stevie Wondermobile, only plays songs by the musical genius himself. Very superstitious.
It was essential to ride down Freedom Ave in a pack on a Soul City Sunday afternoon, because on a Soul City Sunday afternoon, Freedom Ave was awash in music. Everyone in Soul City was devout, but not everyone was a Stevieite. At last count, there were at least 20 religions in Soul City besides Stevieism. Milesism, Marleyites, Coltranity, the Sly Stonish, the Ellingtonians, Michael Jacksonism, Wu-Tangity, Princeian, Rakimism, Mingusity, Nina Simoneian, P-Funkist, James Brownism, Billie Holidayites, Monkist, Hendrixity, the Jiggas, the Arethites, Satchmoian, Barry Whiters, and Gaiety. Soul City was a place where God entered through the speakers, and love was measured in decibels.
That's great. Now, I don't know where I would fit in that cacophony there. I'd have to switch a couple of places on the radio dial.
You don't know which religion you would be.
Yeah, I'd have to be a mix, I think.
Right.
So, Touré, tell me the Portable Promised Land. It's a great title. Where did that come from? What does it mean?
Well, it comes from the first story that I wrote, the sad, sweet story of Sugarlips Shinehot, the man with the portable promised land. The portable promised land is what this man, Sugarlips Shinehot, gains. He meets the devil, and the devil takes away his ability to see white people, so they're invisible to him. And he lives in Harlem in the 40s, so it seems wherever he goes, he's in Harlem because he only sees black people, so he has this portable promised land.
Sort of like the inverse invisible man.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. You do a kind of cultural tours in addition to your musical tour.
Right.
The top 50 words in African American. I just wanted you to go through a few of those, if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah. You know, number 49 is bling bling, which is, you know, a hip-hop word, which means wearing jewels and diamonds or just being, you know, material. Certain words that everyone will know. Funk is now number 44, and cold is number 42, and Nubian's number 34. The word strange, are you familiar with that one?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, I love... Yeah,
but go ahead and explain it.
No, I love strange because it's so rare. It's not an everyday situation in which you would be able to properly say it. It's just an exaltation that commemorates extreme beauty or aesthetic triumph or gigantic flavor, and it always has an exclamation point. So, I mean, I can't even think of, you know, if somebody walked in and they had an amazing Gucci dress that, you know, was just, and the Manolo heels, and but she'd put it together with this amazing hairstyle that she'd created, and you'd strange. Strange. And you'd probably applaud as well. We're blown away, sweetheart. We love you, strange.
Soul City, the city in your book, does not exist, of course.
Oh, it does exist.
Well, yeah. I was going to say that many of the scenes that you do so pictorially are, you find in a number of black neighborhoods.
Right.
And I was especially struck by the father and son piece called Black Man Walking.
Right.
And this kind of ritual that young black boys can go through as they try to perfect their walk.
Right.
And I wanted you to read a little bit about that.
Okay.
On page 61.
Okay. When Dad strutty hold his head and torso up high and do his hands swaying round his hips and keep his motion smooth but compact, cause he been in the army and he throw a slight straight strictly out of Brooklyn bounce in every other step cause he studied black man walking there too. If you see him, you'll just know he in control of everything round him. And if you an irresistible force, you'll get bashful in a quick fast. Every time I sit up in the window at home and watch him strut out the door, from the way he do black man walking, I just know he's somebody. So I know I am too. Watching him, I'm a young ass, know I'm somebody, somebody. And then I see my somebody strut out the door, and I ask my little self, what is it about that strut that makes him strut that he struts so bad? What is this black man walking about? And then, one night, with Dad and his brother Herbie gone out the house, I get a lesson from Mom and my Auntie Wendy. Mom and Auntie Wendy push aside the living room table and the rug and turn up the earth, wind, and fire and tutor little me and me little sister to move like them, following the rhythm. Little me, just up to somebody's knee, don't know I'm getting a lesson on black man walking. Don't see that Mom and Wendy ain't really talking about dancing. They talking about everything in the world your black butt might do, cause everything in the world your black butt might do gots to be done with rhythm. I mean, this story, the black man walking, is more, it's more autobiographical and factual than any of the other stories. This is really me trying to get back at the experience of looking at my father from being 3 or 4 or 5 and sort of that hero worship that I had for him as a child. And I mean, it's the, you're right, there's a very sort of clear link of how do I become a man? Well, I can look at him and see how to become a man. But part of what is sort of going on underneath it is that so many black men of my generation don't know their father or don't know him well or don't respect him. And that has impacted so much of what has become of the hip hop generation.
There are some stories in the book, the one with Reverend Love, for instance, right, Reverend Daddy Love, that some folks, and on an initial read at least, might think as stereotyping.
Sure.
And I was wondering what kind of reaction you've gotten from African-Americans who've read the book.
I mean, to me, this book is for everyone, okay? But there's a nature to it that is sort of, this is black people talking to each other. So if you're black and you come to this book, you will feel sort of at home, like you're in the kitchen and it's just us talking. And white people will feel like perhaps they are, you know, flies on the wall in that situation. So if you want to come into, you know, a sort of literary juke joint, you know, here you are. But I mean, you know, also, you know, as much as I love black people, I am a smartass by nature. So, I mean, if there's a problem, you know, if there's something that you don't want me to touch or to talk about, just let me know, because I absolutely will.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Touré is the author of a collection of stories called The Portable Promised Land.